This article is called Unpacking White Privilege, The Important Work of Making the Church Less Harmful. It's written by Yolanda Denson Byers, who is an African descent Lutheran living in St. Cloud with her wife and five children. She's pastor and chaplain who preaches and teaches anti-racism and social justice throughout the country. Sherry Seifert is a European descent Lutheran living in Minneapolis with her wife and two sons. She sells houses and dismantles white supremacy in the Lutheran Church. We begin with Sherry's story. It wasn't that long ago when I wondered why my denomination is 96% white. Why, when the country is not 96% white, and we're called to be the one body of Christ, is our denomination still so white? As a European American woman, I wanted to explore the answers to these questions through deeper relationships with people of color and indigenous people in our church. As I heard their stories regarding the harm done to them inside the church, my heart broke wide open. I was devastated as I came to a greater understanding of why so many of our siblings in Christ don't feel welcome in the ELCA. While their stories aren't mine to share, I recognize that the important work of making church less harmful to people of color and indigenous people is my work to do. It's not enough to say we're sorry. We must put actions behind our words. We must take a moral inventory of our wrongs and make reparations for the same. The solution to any problem is first to admit that there is one. Today, as European descent members of the ELCA, we must admit that racism is a sin against God and our neighbors, and that God is calling us to do everything in our power to make things right. I'm a member of the Race Equity Committee, or REC, at Calvary Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. The REC started in 2010 as a task force. One way that we're trying to make things right is by learning about race in America and the impact of white privilege. Through this journey, Calvary has been intentional about creating a place for white people to listen and for siblings of color to speak and be heard, facilitating an understanding of the effects of white privilege in our church. This year, utilizing a Dismantling Racism Works article by Tima Okun entitled White Supremacy Culture, and working in partnership with a local group called Multi-Faith Anti-Racism Change and Healing, or MARCH, the REC has been exploring how we both resist and collude with white supremacy. Our vision is large. Through REC, Calvary seeks to see and understand the personal, systemic, and institutional racism that we swim in, to become actively anti-racist Jesus followers, and to become a church that is safer and truly welcoming for our siblings who are indigenous or people of color. Over the years, we've been working steadily to reach and engage more of our congregation. This programmatic year, we had more than 60 people take the intercultural development inventory, and as a congregation, we're working our intercultural development plans together. We've also committed ourselves to the tradition of inviting people of color and indigenous people to preach and lead adult education. We know that we must be teachable and humble to succeed in our goals. Therefore, we are thrilled when Yolanda Denson Byers, an ELCA pastor, agreed to preach and teach at Calvary. We'd heard of her reputation as a powerful preacher who touches hearts and is also a skillful and experienced teacher. This is Yolanda's story. When Sherry invited me to preach and teach at Calvary, I immediately began to pray about this important work. I contemplated what I might share with her church, knowing that they are members of the ELCA. It occurred to me, as I prayed, that I have to start this work by proving that racism and white privilege are real. And this is the place from which I always begin when I was teaching the course Race in America at St. Cloud State University. It was there that I came to the startling discovery that many of my students believed that racism had been solved during the American Civil Rights Movement of the 60s and had nothing to do with them at all. I often spent the first third of my semester-long class convincing my 18 to 22-year-old European-American students that racism was still a problem and that white privilege was real. I always begin this work by introducing them to Peggy McIntosh's article, White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. This article is written by a feminist, European-American female, who discovered that just as there are privileges afforded to men in a patriarchal society, there are also privileges afforded European-Americans in a white supremacist one. As McIntosh attempted to understand this reality, she made a list of all the privileges that she simply enjoys because she's white in America. Upon reflection, I wondered if it would be possible to harness this work within the ELCA to help my European-American siblings within the church understand the intrinsic privileges that come with being white and Lutheran in America. My anti-racism training at Calvary was an opportunity to explore this curiosity while at the same time developing a curriculum that could be used throughout the denomination. I began my work by brainstorming all the white privileges I could think of that my European-American siblings were enjoying in the church, but I was not. Next, I asked a group of women of color in the ELCA to do the same exercise. Finally, after introducing McIntosh's article at Calvary, I invited the assembled adult education group to do the same. The list included in this article comes from three sources. It is by no means exhaustive. I know there are many people of color throughout our denomination who could add to this list, and I pray our European-American siblings would not only hear the pain involved in making such a list, but also commit themselves to become actively anti-racist and doing everything possible to dismantle these white privileges within the church. It's not enough to feel bad or to say sorry. As an African-American ELCA pastor, I'm asking white folks to do the work of dismantling their privilege so the ELCA can be a safer place for all of God's children. While the white privilege list is not meant to be exhaustive, it is meant to spur deep conversations within our churches. It's our prayer that predominantly European-American ELCA congregations will begin to pray and then act to become anti-racist Jesus followers, committed to dismantling white privilege both inside and outside our churches. These will simply be empty words without meaningful action put behind them by European descendant Lutherans in the ELCA. We invite you to join us in this liberating work that will help make this declaration more than empty promises. May God continue to bless each of us to be the hands, feet, and smile of Jesus Christ in the world. May we become missional leaders and churches committed to creating a world, and especially a church, where all God's children are seen, appreciated, valued, and protected. So be it. Amen. Here is a list of privileges as a European American in the ELCA. 1. I can wear whatever I want into the church without judgment. 2. I'm not likely to wonder why people choose to introduce or not introduce themselves to me on Sunday morning. 3. The music I hear in church will be familiar and will likely be written by European Americans. 4. When theologians are cited, they're likely to share my ethnic background. 5. On Sunday morning, I can choose to stick out or blend in. 6. No one has ever told me my church is down the street on the north side. 7. It's not likely that people will talk over me when I'm trying to share. 8. When I show up at church, no one assumes that I am there only to receive financial assistance. 9. No one questions my intellect or seeks to discern how educated I am. 10. People are rarely surprised by the fact that I'm employed or by my choice of career. 11. If I show up at church with a person who does not share my ethnicity, I will not be asked to justify the relationship. 12. When I'm asked to serve in a leadership position, I do not have to wonder if it was to fill a quota or to prove the church's commitment to diversity. 13. When I visit a church for the first time, it's unlikely that I will be asked to participate in that congregation's annual membership photo so that my ethnicity can be represented. 14. When I read scripture in church, no one congratulates me on being so articulate. 15. I do not need a European American at my side in order to be recognized, seen, and valued. 16. When I visit, people do not ask me, "Where are you from?" No, "Where are you really from?" 17. When I'm in church, people do not look at me weirdly or make me feel as if I do not belong. 18. When I enter a room, it's unlikely that people will say to me, "I don't see color." 19. When I visit a congregation, I can assume belonging. No one will question whether I am a real Lutheran. Number 20. When I'm in an ELCA church, I can assume that I will feel a sense of belonging and acceptance. 21. In most ELCA congregations, the format and worship style will feel familiar to me. 23. When I enter the church office, I'm not given directions to the food shelf unless I ask for them. 23. When I look at the leadership of my church, it is very likely the pastor, council president, and congregation council members will share my ethnicity. 24. At potlucks, I will recognize and enjoy most of the foods brought. When people associate the ELCA with Scandinavian countries or make Ole and Sven jokes, I do not feel left out. Number 26. When I see a picture of Jesus or the disciples on the wall or in the stained glass, they are very likely to look like me.